Welcome back to the Honors Element. I'm Ben Lear, and joining me, as always, is Morgan Vincent. Today's topic is one that looks simple on paper but gets tricky in reality. Gases don't always play by the neat rules we learned first.
That's right. Most of us start with PV and MER-NRT, the ideal gas law. It's elegant, it works well for a lot of everyday conditions, and it gives us this sense that gases are predictable. But here's the catch. That law only works if you pretend molecules are little invisible points that don't take up space and never notice each other. And of course, that's not how the real world operates.
Exactly. If you imagine molecules bouncing around in a box at low pressure and average temperatures, they're far enough apart that it's fine to treat them like ghosts passing each other. But change the conditions by squeezing them together or cooling them down, and suddenly they start to interact. Short-range repulsions, long-range attractions, all those forces the ideal gas law politely assumes start screaming to be noticed.
You see this especially clearly in Boyle's law experiments. Boyle's law says that if temperature stays constant, pressure and volume should multiply out to the same value every time, no matter what. Plot that out, and for an ideal gas, it should be a perfect flat line. But when you actually run the experiments with real gases, those lines bend. At very high pressures, molecules can't ignore each other's size anymore, and the measured pressure volume product goes up. At lower temperatures and moderate pressures, attractions pull molecules closer together, and the pressure volume product dips down.
That dip and rise is exactly why chemists define the compressibility factor Z. Instead of assuming PV charge NRT, we ask, what's PV divided by NRT? So we assign Z charge PV to NRT. If Z charge 1, the gas is behaving ideally, but rarely does real data sit at 1. Methane, for instance, shows itself sodding das or nanin sugids or dipping below 1 rmer on funding low 1. They're D at moderate pressures, meaning attractions are pulling molecules inward. Hydrogen barely dips at all. Its molecules don't attract each other much. Then Z shoots up at high pressures because repulsions dominate.
It's almost like each gas has its own fingerprint. By watching how Z changes with pressure and temperature, you can actually learn something about the underlying molecular forces without ever seeing the molecules themselves. And that's the really powerful insight. Z isn't just a correction number. It's a window into the hidden push and pull happening inside the gas.
And here's the practical side. This isn't just academic curiosity. Engineers designing gas storage tanks have to know whether their gas of choice will behave nicely like an ideal gas or start bending the rules in ways that could affect pressure and safety. Climate scientists pay attention to compressibility because it influences whether a gas will stay in the atmosphere or condense into droplets. Real gases matter for predicting weather, designing engines, and even making everyday products.
So, the big takeaway for today is the ideal gas law is a starting point, but it isn't the full story. The moment you push conditions into high pressure or low temperature regimes, or work with molecules that have strong interactions, the simple model breaks down.
Which raises the question, if the simple law isn't enough, what's the fix? Scientists don't just throw out PV and NRT, they adjust it. We added corrections that account for the size of molecules and their attractions, and that led to one of the most famous equations in chemistry.
Yep, next time we'll introduce that very famous equation, the van der Waals equation. We'll talk about where those corrections come from, why they make sense, and what they teach us about real molecules.
All right, that's our wrap on real gases and the compressibility factor. Thanks for sticking with us through the messy truth behind PV, SHAS, and RT.
Catch you next time.